Mark chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. He said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's very good to be with you this morning. It's good to be back. Thank you for your love, your prayers, your support. I've had a virus that's really knocked me out, and I was in bed 6 days, and although I'm recovering, I'm still not fully 100%, so this next week I'm going to be taking it slightly easier. But let's pray for God's help as we look at these words from Mark chapter 3. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what your Spirit has recorded for us here in Mark chapter 3. And we pray that that same Spirit who caused these words to be written would take these words and speak them into each of our hearts. Please empower my speaking. That which is of you, please would it stick. That which is not, please help us to forget. And we pray that you would be doing your work in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's very good to be back with you this morning. Not only because it's Esther's baptism, which is very exciting, and it's really good to see so many here for that, but also because one of the reasons is God has really challenged me from this little section of Mark's gospel. Because the big question for us this morning is this: how does Jesus respond to those who pride themselves on being right? How does Jesus respond to those who pride themselves on being right? Now, it's just worth me saying, of course, it's not wrong to be right. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But the issue is when we pride ourselves on being right. How does Jesus respond in that situation? Now, we're going to look at this section in two parts. First, we're going to see the effects of pride in being right, and then we're going to, second, see Jesus' response. And this is, I found this quite a personally challenging one, and you'll see why as we go through. So the first half is thinking the effects of pride in being right. And the first effect is division. The stage is set. Jesus is in the synagogue. From the parallel account in Luke 6, we know that Jesus is up front teaching, and in those days they'd have been sitting on a seat teaching, which I quite like the idea of today. And there's a man present with a shriveled hand. We don't know why it's shriveled, but we know he's there. But some of the people there, if you've got it at the text open in verse 2, are looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. And that, I think, is the first symptom of pride in being right. They're looking for a reason to write somebody off. Maybe you've come this morning and you're not quite sure what you're letting yourself in for. But I wonder what attitude you've come with. And these people have come, they've come looking for a reason to write Jesus off. They've seen Jesus partying with the down and outs, and they didn't like it. It doesn't fit with what they think is right. Jesus' disciples have not been fasting, and these people didn't like it. It didn't fit with what they thought was right. They've seen Jesus' disciples eating corn on a Sabbath, and they didn't like it. Jesus is just not fitting with what they think is right. And now they're in the synagogue, and Jesus is in the synagogue, and notice they are watching him attentively. But they're not watching Jesus because they're enthralled by him. They're watching because they want to catch him out. They want a reason to write him off. I don't know whether you've heard this story. I think I've told it before, but I've adapted it slightly so it's a bit closer to home. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. And I said, "Don't do it." He said, "Nobody loves me." And I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Brilliant. Are you a Christian or a Jew?" And he said, "A Christian." And I said, "Me too. Protestant or Catholic?" He said, "Protestant." I said, "Me too. Evangelical Protestant or liberal Protestant?" And he said, "Evangelical." And I said, "Me too. Anglican evangelical or Free Church evangelical?" And he said, "Anglican evangelical." And I said, "Oh, me too. Anglican conservative evangelical or Anglican open evangelical?" And he said, "Anglican conservative evangelical." And I said, "Me too. Anglican conservative evangelical continuationist or Anglican conservative evangelical cessationist?" And he said, Anglican conservative evangelical continuationist. And I said, "Me too. Are you an Anglican conservative evangelical continuationist egalitarian or Anglican conservative evangelical continuationist complementarian?" And he said, "Anglican conservative evangelical continuation egalitarian." And I said, "Die, heretic," and pushed him off the bridge. Self-righteousness looks for a reason to write others off. And how does Jesus respond? And because amongst Christians it's particularly ugly. The critical crew, the theology police, notebooks at the ready to give you a list of what was not quite right. And I have to confess that sometimes I have been one of them. And where I have, I am sorry. Because if we take pride in being right, then often all we can see is what is wrong. The sermon finishes and the only thing we take away are the reasons we disagree with the preacher. We leave church and all we take away is why the service was not quite right. If something doesn't quite fit with our view of what is right, we write the rest off. But do we see what it does? It divides. Because in this synagogue that Jesus is preaching at, there are those who are there to worship and there are those who are there watching to catch Jesus out. And the division is profound and deep because there'll be those who leave that day having met with God and there'll be those who leave that day having met with what was not quite right. And so do you see why our question today is quite important? How does Jesus respond to those who pride themselves on being right? Because the first effect of that is division. So if the first effect is division, the second effect of pride in being right is distance. But, now, scarily, Jesus knows what is going on in the hearts of the people, so Jesus interrupts his own sermon. This is not planned. This is not part of the service order. This is going to make the service overrun, which is going to make the Everything Must Be Right Brigade have the twitches. So Jesus has interrupted his own sermon, and he says to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." And now everyone is looking. Everyone is looking. There's Jesus sitting at the front, as preachers would do in those days. There's everyone else sitting down, and they know Jesus has God's power to heal. And there's this one man in the whole congregation standing up. And now everyone can see his shriveled hand. And he can imagine a complete hush falling. And Jesus looks at the taking pride in being right crew. And he looks them in the eye. And he asks them a simple question. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? Now, lawful not in the eyes of the state, you know, the Roman occupiers at the time. Rather, what is lawful in God's eyes? What does God want us to do on the day of rest he has given us? So he looks them in the eye and says, which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill? It's a really simple question. It's black and white. And it's not a rhetorical question. Jesus wants an answer. He's looking at them. And the question is left hanging. And those who pride themselves on being right, they give no answer. Just keep quiet. Why? Why? I wonder if it's partly pride. Oh, we're not going to lower ourselves to engage with this uneducated preacher from Galilee. Certainly not on his terms. I wonder if it's pride. But I wonder if they give no answer because the question is so simple. And they would want to answer something like this. Jesus, it's not as simple as that. You're being simplistic. It's more complicated. You see, yes, we do love God, and we love, and our love for God is expressed in doing what he says. And God has given us the Sabbath. It's in the Ten Commandments. And he's commanded us to do no work on the Sabbath. So we don't do any unnecessary work on the Sabbath. So although healing people is a good thing, we agree with you on that, Jesus. Healing him today is unnecessary, and so if you did it on the Sabbath, it would be a bad thing, even though usually it would be a good thing. So, Jesus, you've created a false dichotomy. You could heal this man tomorrow, Jesus, so we're not going to answer. They could do that. Maybe that's what they're thinking. You see, the problem is, if they engage with the question, if they answer the question, they have to completely rejig what they think. And that is another symptom of this pride in being right, refusal to engage, distancing ourselves. But this, notice, this is not just an intellectual question, because their answer to that question has a direct relevance to what they think should happen to that man who is standing up in front of them all. Now, Jesus is making it clear, this isn't just an intellectual, theological question. This isn't just a question of how do you interpret the Bible. This is a question of love and of compassion to that man standing there. And so do we see, Jesus' question is actually this. Is an act of unnecessary kindness, of life-giving grace, is that lawful on the Sabbath? And they are silent. They disengage, distance themselves, standoffish. Isn't that what we do when we take pride in being right, especially when we're challenged? We distance ourselves, we're standoffish with people. So there's the division, there's the distance. But then look at the third effect of this pride in being right, destroying. Because Jesus, you know, he heals the man on the Sabbath. He just says, stretch out your hand. The man stretches it his hand and it's healed. It's wonderful. And did you notice the great irony? The Pharisees then unite with their arch enemies, the Herodians, on a Sabbath to plot how to bring Jesus down. Which is lawful? To do good or to do evil? Well, they're going to plot to do evil on the Sabbath. Because they think they're right. And Jesus is challenging that. He's undermining that. And now they literally have to get rid of him because he's in their faces, pulling a crowd, exposing their lack of compassion and love. Now for us, I guess we can just sideline or ignore Jesus and think, hey, I'm a good person, I'm right. But this desire to destroy, I think, is scarily in a lot of us, or perhaps in all of us. And this is my confession on this. Because there's been an issue in the wider diocese in which I think I'm in the right. And some things have happened that didn't fit with quite what I thought should happen. And I think I took those things more personally than I should. You know, if someone was being really thoughtful, they might have done things a bit differently. But I've allowed those things to fester, and I've put myself on the high ground. I'm in the right here. And that's led to some division in my heart. It's led to me distancing myself. And I think jealousy combined with a bit of hubris have then meant that I've taken an attitude of distance and then been trying to catch people out, even to the point of working against a particular project. Division, distance, destruction. Now, pride in being right can lead to people doing the most horrific, horrible things and believing they are doing the right thing. The Pharisees went out thinking they were doing the right thing. I am right. This person has done this to me, or this has happened. I'm going to take them down. I'm going to make them suffer. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And we can destroy relationships, projects, careers, reputations, people's mental health, country, society, all of those things, because obviously we're in the right, and those foolish people are in the wrong over there. How much of that do we see in the whole Brexit fallout? It's the pride in being right. It leads to division. It leads to distance. It leads to destroying. Rather than moving towards and seeking to understand and seeking to engage and seeking to reconcile. So how does Jesus respond to those who pride themselves on being right? That's our question this morning. And do we see why this is an important question? Because how we answer this question affects our view of Jesus. You know, does he just smile nicely? Does he just look the other way? No, it doesn't really matter. See, how he responds affects what we think about Jesus. It affects whether he's worthy of our worship. And how we respond to this question will affect how we respond to the pride in being right that we find in our own hearts. We'll just say, oh, it's okay. Or whether we will actually go, you know, I need to do something about this. So how does Jesus respond to those who pride themselves on being right? And this is our second, slightly shorter part this morning. What does he do? Well, he does two things. First of all, notice he gives them an opportunity to change their minds. Do you see that? He gives us an opportunity to engage with him and to see the error of our ways. So picture yourself again in that synagogue. The man with the shriveled hand standing there. We don't know where he was sitting. Perhaps he was at the back. We don't know. But he's standing there. There's that simple question. Which is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil? To save life, to kill? Do you see what Jesus does? He opens the door for them to engage. Now, yes, it's on his terms, but it's still an opportunity. So here is the Son of God who's been demonstrating his God-given, life-giving power, who's been wowing the crowds with the authority of his teaching. Here he is giving an opportunity to engage with him. And however much pride we take in being right, see, the real question always comes down to this, is whether we're willing to engage with Jesus, not on our terms, but on his terms. And Jesus opens the door because he wants to engage with us. As we sung, Jesus never, 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 never turns anyone away. But we have to come to him on his terms. And if God is truly God, he's not going to fit neatly into our way of thinking, is he? You know, if God is truly God, then Nick is not going to be right on everything. You are not going to be right on everything. None of us are going to be right on everything because God is bigger than our minds can ever get our heads round. So we've got to come to Jesus on his terms. But the Pharisees refuse to engage. They distance themselves. But notice Jesus opens the door for them and he opens the door for us. Somebody said that, you know, the only thing that keeps us out away from Jesus is that we want to be right. The only qualification to come to Jesus is realize that we're wrong. But how does Jesus respond to those who just keep their distance? Keep their distance. And this is the bit that got to me. And this is the bit that I really want us to take away. Verse 5. He looked around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn heart, said to the man, stretch out your hand. Do you see that? Jesus is angry. And the word for deeply distressed has the idea of being deeply grieved. Deeply grieved. Upset. Saddened, but more than saddened, grieved at what? Their stubborn hearts. Jesus is grieved. In some of my time on the sofa the last couple of weeks, some of it was just sitting there doing absolutely nothing and very content to do absolutely nothing. But a bit of TV's been on, and we watched a programme about the growth of the show bands in Ireland in the 50s and 60s. And the programme highlighted what life was like on a Sunday in Ireland at the time. And it was absolutely dead. Sunday, the Christian Sabbath in Ireland at the time, was all about what you could not do. And it painted a picture of a God who was all, don't do this, don't do that, don't have fun, don't smile, don't, don't doubt. And is that what God is like? You know, if we come to him needing healing on a Sabbath, he'll say, whoa, no way. How dare you come back tomorrow when it's not on the Sabbath? Is that how God is looking at this man standing up in the middle of the synagogue with his withered hand? Because that's the impression of God that the Pharisees are giving, isn't it? And here's the thing. Theology is a good thing, but it can be deadly dangerous. Knowledge is a good thing, but it can puff us up. Because these Pharisees, they know their Bibles inside out. Their theology is very similar to Jesus's. And yet Jesus is grieved at their stubborn hearts. He's grieved that they won't answer his question. He's grieved that they won't have compassion on the man. He's grieved at their division, their distance and hearts that will ultimately destroy. And he's grieved because they've just got God wrong. The Apostle Paul later wrote, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And I just think, isn't it a good thing that Jesus is grieved when knowledge triumphs over love? Isn't it a good thing that Jesus is grieved when being right triumphs over compassion and grace? Because Jesus is grieved, I think, because God is not like these Pharisees. He is nothing like what these Pharisees say. Their theology was very good. In the most part. But God is not like this. Pride in being right leads to destroying. But when you look at Jesus, you see God who gives life and is into restoration and joy. Because if you look at Jesus over the previous few weeks in Mark's Gospel, he's been healing people with just a word, freely, extravagantly, graciously. He's been teaching with extraordinary authority. He's forgiven sins. He's given life back to people. He's God restoring a broken world. And he's calling broken people, self-righteous people, people who are wrong and have messed up, back to him. And he said, the bridegroom is here and it's time to party and to be full of joy. And here he is on the Sabbath. And part of the Sabbath is, yes, it's a big no. God has given us the Sabbath so we don't work. It's a day off for everybody, including for us as Christians. But God gave us the Sabbath for our benefit as a precious gift. And it's a day meant to give us life, for salvation, for doing good. And so Jesus heals the man's hand because Jesus came to give life. He came to restore, to heal, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring us back to the God we've turned against, to give us joy, to give us soft hearts, full of compassion and love, so that when we walk out this church and we see that person in need, we don't go, sorry, it's a Sunday, I can't help you. Our hearts break for people. And we say, of course we'll help. And you see, the polar opposite of that is hearts that are so right, they are hard and result in division, distance and destruction. And no wonder Jesus is angry. No wonder he's grieved. And I'm so thankful that he is. Because I sometimes, for one, need to feel his tears. And just hear him saying, Nick, you're being proud here. You're prioritising being right over love and compassion. Come back to me. Come back to me. And it's not just Jesus who's grieved. In Ephesians 4, we read this. Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4, 29 to 32. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And we grieve Jesus, we grieve the Spirit when we revert to pride in being right and the division and the distance and the destruction that causes. So how does Jesus respond to pride in being right? Well, he's grieved because he's the God who gives life, who brings people back to him, who brings people back together. And Jesus came to bring us back to God, to give us life, to give us joy. And he has given us the Sabbath. It's in the Ten Commandments, but he's given us the Sabbath to give us life. So if you don't have a Sabbath, have one. Have a day off of work, a day off work a week. Stop work. Spend time with Jesus and his people. But on that day, don't just make it like a dead day, which is a day of, like, boredom. Make it a day that brings light and life and laughter to you and to your family and to others. Make it a day of joy-giving, life-giving. Because Jesus came full of extravagant grace and love to forgive us, to restore us to God. And the only qualification you need to come to Jesus is not being right, but to realize we're wrong. The only qualification we need to come to Jesus is not to be right, but to realize we're wrong. And ironically, the one thing that keeps us away is thinking we're right. And we're never wrong. And if you want to see what happens to hearts that cannot ever admit they're wrong, look at what the Pharisees set out to do. But if you want to see the joy that God brings to those who realize, yeah, we've messed up, mucked up, this world is broken, I need Jesus, I'm not right, look at what Jesus does.